Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. And we're going to begin our study this morning by reading Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. And when you have it, what if you let me know by just saying amen, for we can read it together as a family. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. This is what it says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Let me read for you another translation, the ESV translation. It says this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. This morning we are going to continue, and we're going to finish the study that we started a few weeks ago, which I titled "The Name of the Lord, the Name of Jehovah." If you recall, for the past few weeks, we've been studying the name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah, and we've been looking at why it's a strong tower for the people of God. And if you recall, we learned that really the name Jehovah finds its roots in a Hebrew verb, which means to be. And the word really carries the idea of the becoming one or the self-existent one. And so really, by God revealing himself by the name Jehovah to his people, really what God is telling them, and he's telling us, that he desires to be everything in our life. He wants to become, or he wants to be what we need, what we desire, and what we long for. And we saw, you know, for the past few weeks, that throughout the Old Testament, God, you know, and I think God, knowing it's human nature for us to ask questions, he reveals to us through the Old Testament what exactly he desires to be in the life of his people. God reveals to us through his name what he wants to be in our life. And he does it through compound forms of his name there in the Old Testament, scattered throughout the different books. God reveals to himself to his people by his name in compound form. And really, through these forms, God shows us, reveals to us, what he desires to be in our life. He reveals to us a way he wants to relate to us, a work he wants to perform in us, and even a want he wants to meet for us. And so for the past few weeks, we've been taking the time and we've been going through these different compound forms and learning what God desires to be in our life. And we've been learning why truly his name is a strong tower, that we might find safety and refuge in it. And so far, we've looked at four ways the name of Jehovah has been revealed in the Old Testament. Just by way of review, we saw that God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, as Jehovah will provide. And we talked how God wants to be our provider, physically, mentally, but most importantly, spiritually. God wants to provide salvation, because that's our greatest need. You don't need a new Corvette or a new house. First and foremost, you need a new heart. And you need to be forgiven and cleansed. Because that is all that's going to matter when we leave this world. The second way we saw how God revealed himself through his name was by Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah heals. And we saw how God desires to be our healer. And we also said that he desires to heal us physically, if that is according to his will, mentally, emotionally, but most importantly, spiritually. God wants to heal us spiritually because we all are sick in sin. And it's only the cross, only the blood of Jesus that is the remedy for that sinful disease we all inherited through Adam number one. If you recall last week, we saw a third way that God has revealed himself through his name. And it was Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah is my banner. And we talked about how God desires to be our banner. He desires for his people to gather around him and allow him to lead them to victory. That Jesus wants to bring victory in our lives. There's no need for us to be defeated or down or depressed. But as we rally around Jesus, as we rally around the cross of Christ, we always find victory because Jesus is the undefeated champion. Check this out, fam. Pacquiao doesn't have nothing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Some of you are like, Pacquiao, who? Who's that? You know, is that like a new type of video game, Pac-Man? You know, he's a boxer, very good boxer. He fought last night, so I'm making a reference to him. I didn't watch the fight, but I heard that he won. But he don't have nothing on Jesus. Amen. He's the king. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a mighty warrior. As we rally around him, he brings the victory. When you're facing those giants, when you're facing those obstacles, those enemies, just run to Jesus. Allow him to be your banner, and he will bring the victory. Last week, we fourthly and finally saw that the Lord has revealed himself by his name as Jehovah Mekadesh also. And that simply means Jehovah who sanctifies. And we talked about how God desires to be our sanctifier. God desires to perfect, to complete his work in our lives. God desires to set us apart and to really bring us to the place where we need to be. You know, all of us have struggles. All of us wrestle with certain things that we don't like, that we hate. And no matter how hard we try, we're just not able to be released from them. But it's so comforting to know that God is the one who does the sanctifying work, that God is going to set us apart. He's going to help us, and he's going to bring us to the place where we need to be. So don't get discouraged. Don't get too down on yourself. If you find yourself stumbling, if you find yourself struggling, just trust in the Lord, run to him, and he's going to complete that work. That you know, the Lord is a master craftsman, and you're his work, you're his, you know, statue that he's working on, and he's going to get you ready for heaven. He's going to do the work. The Holy Spirit one day is going to present you to the Lord Jesus Christ as a bride without blemish and without spot. Just trust in him. Run to him. Ask him for help because he is our sanctifier. Amen? Amen. You know, isn't it so neat that it's like, you know, we just don't come to the Lord for salvation. And then he kind of says, all right, good luck. You know, have fun trying to get all that Egypt out of you. But he saves us. And he also sanctifies us. You know, there he performs, you know, kind of like the book of Leviticus on us. You know, we get out of Egypt, but then there's Leviticus to clean us up. There's Jehovah Mekadesh And then one day he's going to also do the glorifying work, the glorification, and give us new bodies. And the Lord does everything when it comes to salvation. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. Truly, salvation is of the Lord. And so that's just a review of what we've been covering. And this morning, we're going to finish up our study. And we're just going to look at a few more ways the name of Jehovah has been revealed to us in Scripture. And as we go through these names, my prayer is that you would just understand in a greater way that truly the name of Jehovah is a strong tower. And that you would just understand that God is all you need. God is enough. Everything you need, everything you're looking for, everything you can possibly desire or want is found in God. He's a strong tower. And as we run to him, we find safety, satisfaction, fulfillment, everything we need. And so let's begin and turn with me to Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 24. And we're going to look at the fifth way we see that God has revealed himself through his name. Judges chapter 6, verse 24. And we're just going to read the first part of verse 24 in Judges chapter 6. And this is what it says. So Gideon built an altar there to Jehovah and called it Jehovah is peace. Jehovah is peace. And so the fifth way we see that God has revealed himself to us by his personal name is by Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, which means Jehovah is peace. And so we learn fifthly that God desires to be our peace. God desires to be our peace. He desires to give us peace in the midst of any storm we might find ourselves going through. And he desires to bring us comfort in the midst of any pain we might find ourselves experiencing. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God desires to guard our hearts and minds with a peace that surpasses all understanding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul also says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comforts, who comforts us in our tribulation. So God also desires to comfort us in all our tribulations. He desires to bring peace and comfort to our life. And the truth is, only in him is found true peace and true comfort. I love what St. Augustine said. He said these words, God has made us for himself, and our hearts can find no peace until they rest in him. God has made us for himself, and you cannot find peace, you cannot find rest, you cannot find comfort until you find it in him. For he is Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. You know, everyone is in search for peace. That's one of the great searches going on in the world today. People are searching for peace. Where can I find peace? Peace for my family, peace for my marriage, peace for my children, peace for my work and school, peace for myself. Everyone is looking for peace. They search and search for peace. They search in pills. They think if they can pop enough pills in their mouth that they're going to find peace. They search for peace in counseling sessions, thinking that they can find peace in a book or in a workbook or in a 12-step program. They search for peace in activities and vacations, thinking that if they go somewhere nice enough and long enough, they're going to find peace. They search and search for peace. But no matter where they search or no matter how hard they search, they're never able to find it. Peace is always eluding them. Peace seems always to avoid them. And the reason is because true peace is only found in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to find peace anywhere other than in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in Jehovah, only in the Lord Jesus Christ can one experience unchanging, unfailing, perfect, all-satisfying, divine peace. You're not going to experience peace until you bow your heart to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I love what Isaiah the prophet says to us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Talking about Messiah, he says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And then he kind of finishes his descriptions by saying, "Prince of Peace." Messiah is going to come, the Savior, and he's going to be the Prince of Peace. He is going to be the one that will bring the peace that the world so desperately needs. And it's only through the Savior, only through Jesus Christ, can you experience peace with God. Can you get right with God? And once you get right with God, once you experience peace with God, then you can experience the peace of God. You know, oftentimes, you know, people will come to church and they need prayer. They have a need. They need peace. They need peace for their home, for their family, for themselves. And the first thing I ask them is, have you accepted the Lord in your life? Are you right with God? Have you been forgiven of all your sins and have bowed your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the truth is, until you have peace with God, until you get right with God, you can't experience the peace of God. You hearing me, family? First, you get right with God through Christ. You have peace with God because outside of Christ, the Bible teaches us that we're at war with God, that we're at enmity with God, that our sins are a stench in the nostrils of God. But once you bow your heart to Christ, peace with God you find. And once you have that, you can experience the peace of God. And it's all found in the Lord Jesus. It's all found in Jehovah, for he is our peace. And this morning, man, if you find yourself restless, anxious, worried, troubled, hurting, broken, run to the name of Jehovah. Run to Jesus. Find your peace, find your comfort in him. Because he's the Prince of Peace. You know, these past couple of years since my mom passed away there in January 2008, you know, I've been getting to know God as Jehovah Shalom. I've been experiencing Him as my peace. He's brought so much peace, so much comfort to my life in such a real way. Listen up, fam. Life is hard. Life is difficult. It's filled with pain. It's filled with sorrow. It's filled with loss. But in the midst of all that, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the loss, God desires to be our peace. He doesn't keep us from the storm, but He keeps us through the storm. And He's our peace. He wants to supply us with perfect peace. And I've experienced that personally. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I love that expression because oftentimes when you go through something, you're not going to understand it. You're not going to know why it's happening. But you don't have to know why, because God's peace surpasses all understanding. God's peace is enough. And I've experienced that personally. That verse, this point, I've experienced. I've lived it. It's a reality to my life. And I'm convinced that in the same way God has provided me with peace, He wants to provide you with peace. Get to know Him as Jehovah Shalom. Run to Him. Run to Jesus and allow Him to bring you peace, rest, and comfort and healing that you so desperately need this morning. Because He is our strong tower. He is our peace. And as we run to Him, we find rest. Amen, family. Amen. So the fifth thing we see, God's revealed Himself as Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah, our peace. Turn with me now to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. And we're going to look at the next way God has revealed Himself to us through His word and through His name. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. This is what it says. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name which he shall be called, Jehovah our righteousness. Jehovah our righteousness. And so, the sixth way we see that God has revealed Himself to us by His personal name is by Jehovah Sitkenu. Jehovah Sitkenu, which simply means Jehovah our righteousness. What does God desire to be in our life? He desires to be our righteousness. God desires to give us the only righteousness that will be accepted by Him, His very own righteousness. Listen to this, family. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous in every single way. A lot of people like to emphasize the love attribute of God. God is love. Amen to that. That is the God we serve. But God is also holy. A lot of people like forget that, you know. They're like, okay, Lord, I'm going to focus on the love part, but let me ignore the holy, the righteous part. But the truth is, God is one. God is a simple being, we like to say. And he's not composed of parts. He's indivisible. So he's just as much loving as he is righteous and holy. Understand that God is not more loving than he is righteous, but he's perfect. He's simple. He's one. He's indivisible. He's not composed of parts. And so God is perfectly holy, perfectly righteous. And you know what that means? That means that only perfection, only perfect holiness, only perfect righteousness is accepted by God. God is perfection. God can only accept perfection. God can only receive absolute holiness. And when we think about that, when we read about that, we have to come to the conclusion that that's the degree of holiness and righteousness that we don't have. I don't know about you, but I am far from perfect. Amen. And this morning, if you're saying, Adam, I'm perfect, you're lying. And you're just proving my point that you're not perfect. We're far from perfect. And to take it to the next level, no matter how hard we try or no matter what we do, we can't attain perfection. We cannot be justified or declared righteous in God's sight by works. And so all of us, all humanity, we fall short miserably. Miserably. Like we don't even come close meeting the standards of God. You know, Paul says in Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, as it is written, there is none righteous. That includes you. That includes me. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Isaiah the prophet tells us in Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. That's a heavy word. I'm like, Lord, why couldn't you just like put dirty rags? Why did you have to put filthy, you know? Because there's just, that's a strong word in the Hebrew language. Paul would also say in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's really the scripture's declaration of mankind's condition. There's no one righteous. We all have fallen short of God's standard, of God's glory. And all of us are an unclean thing. All of us, our works, our righteousness are like filthy rags. And that's our condition. We find ourselves in a sinful, fallen condition. And really, the Bible teaches us that the only answer to our sinful, fallen condition is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Is Jehovah our righteousness. He's the only answer. He's the only solution. It's only by placing your faith and trust in Jesus and accepting his sacrifice on your behalf can you find a right standing before God. How do you get right with God? How can you be accepted in the sight of God? Only through the Son of God. Only through Jesus. Jesus desires to be your righteousness. Because you need righteousness and I need righteousness. And it's only in Christ. It's only as you receive Christ that you're able to be forgiven, acquitted of all sin. And the very righteousness of Christ is given to you. We like to use this expression, and I don't want to get too technical with you this morning because I'm not here to teach theology. I'm here to teach the Bible. But if you want to learn theology, you know, you come talk to me and I'll give you more terms. But the word we like to say is that when we give our life to Christ, we're acquitted of all sin and we are given or we are imputed the very righteousness of Christ himself. Christ imputes, he gives, he accredits to your account his very righteousness. And you find yourself justified, accepted in the sight of God. Listen to this. In Christ, you go from being condemned before God to being justified in the sight of God. You know, the word justification, it's such an important word. And it's kind of getting lost in the church today. The church don't like to talk about justification. Then they would rather talk about Corvettes and cars and whatnot. That's all the garbage being preached behind pulpits. But justification is such an important word. And the word literally means being legally declared righteous in the sight of God. It means God the Father, the judge of all the earth, he looks upon you, and because of your faith, because of your trust in Jesus, he acquits you from all guilt. He says not guilty, and he declares you righteous. He declares you innocent and you're justified. You're legally declared righteous. And now you can stand before God Almighty, accepted and in right standing because you've been declared righteous in Christ Jesus. You're justified. And we all need that, because if you're not justified, you're condemned. There's only two. It's either or. Either you're condemned before Christ, before God, or you're justified in Christ before God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For God made Christ," and I'm paraphrasing that, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Righteousness, acceptance, justification, man, it's only found in Jehovah Sit Canu. It's only found in faith in Jesus Christ. You know, this is what it comes down to, family. If someone rejects Christ, one day they're going to be rejected from the presence of God. If you reject Christ, you're not getting in heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. But if you accept Christ, one day you will be accepted, received in the presence of God. And it's not going to really matter, you know, so much how much you worked for it or how much brownie points you had with God. What matters is if you're in Christ or not, if you're justified by the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ, if you're found in him, you're accepted. If you're found outside of him, you are rejected. And on that great day, and I think about it often, I think about it every day, you should too, that one day we will die, we will stand before God. You know, I read once that Alexander the Great, his father Philip II of Macedon, he would hire a servant to follow him every single day and remind him that one day he was going to die. And sometimes I wish I had that money to hire someone to remind me that one day I'm going to die. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit reminds me and he tells me, your time is limited. Your life is but a vapor. Get busy for Christ and make sure you're ready for when you do go. Make sure you're in Christ, because one day I'm going to stand before the judge. One day you will stand before the judge. And on that day, me personally, I'm not going to have nothing to fear, because the word of God promises me that I've been clothed in the very righteousness of Christ himself. And the word of God promises me that I've been accepted in the beloved. And this morning, fam, do you have that insurance? Do you have this assurance that you will be accepted? That you have been justified? If you don't, run by faith to Jehovah Tsidkenu. Allow him to be your righteousness. Run to him. Don't run to a religion. Don't run to good works. Run to the Savior. And allow him to clothe you with his righteousness. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, and he desires to be your righteousness. He wants to make you holy, perfect, acceptable in his sight. And it's only through Jesus. And it's only by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, one of my favorite songs, and it's actually going to be made into a children's book. It's a song by an artist by the name of Sha Lin. And he's a rap artist. So if you don't like rap, then you're not going to like the song. But it honors the Lord. It's a Christ-centered song. And the story is called Penelope Judd. You know, last night I was listening to it. I was kind of like studying it, taking notes, because I wanted to present the story correctly. I don't have too much time, but this is the basis of the story. Penelope Judd is a young girl who lives in a town called Mud. And the town is filled with nothing but children, 12 years old and younger. And the children are mean. The children are cruel. The children play in mud all day long. And Penelope Judd doesn't like it. And so she's sad. She's discouraged. But one day, she is given an invitation to a party to the king's palace that is up on the hill. And so she's excited, she's joyful, because she's been given this invitation to the king's party that he's throwing for his son. And so one day a dove comes, and the dove tells Penelope, you know, get your stuff. It's time to go to the party. And so she gets her stuff. And under the direction, under the guidance of the dove, hint, hint, the Holy Spirit, she goes up a mountain and she arrives to the palace of the king. But as she arrives to the palace, there she is in the front door, and she rings the doorbell, and all of a sudden a giant angel opens up the door, and the giant angel asks Penelope, how can I help you? Penelope responds, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation. But with a frown and to her dismay, the angel responds, "Sorry, I can't let you in. I'm so sorry, but you cannot come in the party." And he tells her the reason. The king won't let anybody dirty up his floors. You can't come in. I'm so sorry. Now, Penelope, she was a little confused. She didn't understand what the angel was talking about. So without coming near her, the angel kind of like reached into his pocket and he pulled out a giant mirror. And for the very first time, Penelope saw that she was dirty, that she was muddy. The palace was spotless. And after seeing herself in the mirror, she knew that she wasn't worthy to enter the palace. And so the angel told her, "Sorry, little friend, I'm so sorry, but I can't let you in." And there was Penelope, bummed, saddened, down, that she wasn't able to enter the party in the palace. And the angel was about to close the door on her when all of a sudden a voice yelled out in the palace, "You can let her in. You can let her in." And all of a sudden, the prince himself, the son of the great king, he stood near the door. He looked down upon Penelope. He smiled at her and he told her, "We have room for one more. You can let her in. We have room for one more." And the story tells us that the prince, he reached out and he touched Penelope. And when he touched her, instantly she was clean. And she was wearing the brightest, the cleanest robe that she had ever seen in her lifetime. And the story ends by her asking the prince, "Where did you get this robe? Where did you get it? It's so nice. It's so clean. It's so perfect. Where did you get it?" And the prince replied, "It's mine. The robe is mine." What do we learn from the story? With the very righteousness of Christ himself, that's the only way we can find entrance into heaven. That's the only way you're entering the king's palace, if you're wearing the robe of the Son. And this morning, if you have that robe, just rest in it. Rest in it. Don't like worry yourself to death. Am I good enough? Am I praying enough? Am I reading the Bible enough? Rest in Christ. You're justified. You're accepted. You're accepted in Christ. You have the very righteousness of Christ. How could you better that? How could you add to that? How could you perfect that? How could you perfect perfection? It's impossible. So if you have it, rest in Christ. But if you don't have it, run to Christ. If you have him, rest in him. If you don't have him, run to him. Because when you get to heaven, the king is not going to let you dirty up his floors. It's only in Christ. It's only through Christ. It's only by Christ you get into the doors. Because he's Jehovah Sikkenu. He's our righteousness, and he desires to be our righteousness. Amen, family? Amen. Let's finish up. We're going to end with this. I just want to show you one last one. I think we have time. I've got about 5 minutes. It's not going to take too long. Ezekiel 48, and we're going to end with this. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. It's actually the last verse in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. And this is what it says. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day will be Jehovah is there. Jehovah is there. So the seventh and the final way that we're going to look or see that God has revealed himself to us by his personal name is by Jehovah Shammah. And that simply means Jehovah is there. God desires to be there for us. Man, what a truth. What a verse. What comfort to know that God wants to be there every moment of every day, regardless of our condition, regardless of our circumstance. God wants to be there for us. He's promised us that he's with us. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. God has promised that he will always be with us. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has promised us that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's promised us that he will always be there for us to provide strength, to provide comfort, to provide rest, fellowship, direction, instruction. God wants to be there. He wants to be there for you. You know, that to me, that is just such an amazing truth concerning the nature and the person of God. Because loneliness, man, it's an ugly thing. I don't know if you've ever experienced loneliness. I don't know if you've ever experienced abandonment or rejection or neglection. That's not a good thing to experience. It's terrible. It's horrible to experience and to endure. And the truth is, many people are experiencing such things. Many people are being abandoned. Many people are being neglected by parents, by teachers, by family members or friends. Many people struggle with loneliness. Many people fall into depression and find themselves with the mentality that no one cares, that no one's there, that no one's around. Loneliness is such a horrible thing. I remember, man, when my mom passed away, I felt so alone. And I had all the family, all the brothers and sisters, family members, friends who were there, but I still felt alone. I was in the midst of a crying, and I'm not trying to get all emo on you, okay? What does that mean, fam? That means I'm not trying to get all emotional on you. I'm not going to tear up, feel sorry for me. I'm just going to share with you some truth that I was experiencing. I felt alone. I felt lonely. I was in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of the family, and I still felt all alone. But it was during those times of loneliness that I realized that I will never be alone, because Jehovah Shammah was there. My God was there with me. And he never abandons us. He never neglects us. He never rejects us. He always has time. Man, God always has time. You don't have to make an appointment with God. You don't have to call God and ask if you can make a meeting to see him. He's always there. He's a faithful friend. Even if everyone leaves you, if everyone forsakes you, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you, but he'll always be there. You can count on God. You can count on God as a believer, as a follower of Christ. You have a faithful friend, and he's always there. He is always there. His door is always open 24/7. And you can just run to him like a little kid running to his daddy. And he's there with open arms, ready to receive you, ready to wrap you in his love, to hug you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to guide you, direct you. He's there. He's always there. He's Jehovah Shammah. That's just who he is. That's his nature. He's all present. Omnipresent. He's always there for you. You can count on him. And that's what he desires to be. Man, he just desires to be there for you. And listen to this. Because of that, because of this truth, learn to practice the presence of God daily. What do I mean by that? Simply this. Learn to be conscious. Learn to be aware of the presence of God everywhere you go. It will change your day. It will change your Christian walk. It will change your lifestyle. Be conscious. Be aware of the presence of God. You know, some people think, well, I got to go to church to experience the presence of God. I got to be gathered with the saints. You know, we see that verse in Matthew, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with you. And so oftentimes as Christians, we can get so confused and we think, okay, to experience God's presence, to meet with Christ, I got to go to church. I got to find two or three believers, and there he's in the midst of us. That's true. And I'm not neglecting or negating that. But the truth is, on your own time, everywhere you go, you can experience the presence of God. You can practice the presence of God. When you're at work, God's presence is with you as a believer. When you're at school, God's presence is with you. When you're at home, when you're washing dishes or preparing a meal, God's presence is with you. And you can experience it. You can enjoy it. You just first have to learn to practice his presence. Learn how to be conscious. Learn how to be aware. Remind yourself that God is with you. Remind yourself that he is Jehovah Shammah, and that he's there. And that will just bless your day. And you can be experiencing like the sorriest day, you know, like a tough day. Everything's going bad for you. And instead of like going on Facebook saying, I am having a bad day, for people can feel sorry for yourself, practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. Receive comfort. Receive joy from his presence. When you're at work and the boss is just chomping on your ear and you're ready to go like AWOL and like get them in a headlock, practice the presence of God. When you're driving and you're in traffic and you're going crazy on that horn, and you're ready to run over some people, practice the presence of God in that car, in the midst of traffic, in the midst of work, in the midst of that class, in the midst of home. Practice the presence of God. God is there. God is with you. God is for you. Who can be against you? He'll help you. He'll sustain you. Be sustained by the presence of God. Be sustained. Be preserved. Be strengthened, renewed, refreshed by the presence of God. Just run to Him. Run to His name, for He is Jehovah Shammah. He is there. You know, that's one of the things we need most as Christians. We need the presence of God. You know, I think of what the psalmist said, you know, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's my prayer for my life. That's my prayer for your life. That everywhere you go, the presence of God can go before you, behind you, and with God's presence comes goodness and mercy and grace. And He's there for you, family. He's there. Practice His presence. And so, in closing, I'm going to invite my brother up, Jonah, so when we're finished, we can just finish with a song. In closing, I just want to say this. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. What have we learned? That God desires to be our provider, our healer, our banner, our sanctifier, our peace, our righteousness, our ever-present One. He desires to be all these things and so much more. And the question is, do you know Him? Do you have Him? Do you serve Him? Do you run to Him? Allow God to be everything. Because if you have Him, you have everything. But if you don't have Him, you have nothing. Man, just enjoy God. What is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I would just encourage you, family, whatever you're going through, whatever you will go through, because you will go through things, I promise you, life is hard, life is difficult, life is tough. But in the midst of all that, know this, you have a strong tower, and that strong tower is God. And as you run to Him by faith, you will find peace, you will find rest, and you will find safety. Amen. Let's stand and let's dismiss with a prayer.